This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Welcome to the show. Let's just get right into it. I'm feeling a little stuffy in the head. I have like an ear infection right now, guys. So if I seem just kind of like gross sounding, that's what's going on. But I'm feeling fine, especially because I'm so excited about our guest today. You know how I feel about this person because I talk about her all the time. She's like the funniest person I know. And she's also just getting prettier and prettier every week, and it's bothersome, but I'm also happy about it. And she probably won't take that compliment because she never does. It's the funniest person I know, Rachel Feinstein.
Thank you.
Hi. Oh my God, you look so good. We both have layered necklaces on. Like, we're trying, like, how has your layered necklace journey been? Because it, I know you, and this is not an easy thing for us to do.
No, it's always, how do they, I feel like there's always a delicate type of woman, just some woman that fucking grew up in Maine with a father that was protective, and she doesn't have these strings, like the back comes to the front, and people clean me throughout the day. I usually have like a sticker, I had like a Reformation tag on my dress.
I had a tag on my shirt the other day. I was doing a show in, I think it was Burlington, Vermont, and I just bought a new outfit at Urban Outfitters that day, like half price. Like, it was like the whole outfit was $15. I was very proud of myself. And then I was wearing a shirt for the first part, and I took it off at the very beginning of my set. Like, I took out this t-shirt and I had on this like cute top underneath, and it had a tag on it. And the whole crowd, like, I could just feel the, like, they were off. You know, like sometimes you feel the crowd's off and you're like, is something on my face? And they're like, no, these, you're just not funny. But I could just tell something was off. And then finally I just kind of like was like feeling behind my head, and I was like, oh, this tag is still on. And then they all were like, oh, the relief. And this was 20 minutes later, and I go, how many of you already saw the tag? And they all cheered so loud. And I go, and then later on they go, we thought it was part of the bit. Like, that is not a bit. What was I gonna do?
That would be a constructed joke. It makes people think that you made up, like that, like some writers came up with this wacky idea. It's hilarious. Yeah, to me.
It happens a lot. I mean, you've been on stage. Your camel toe story is one of my favorites.
Yes, I was on stage. Thank you, Nikki. I was on stage in Alabama, and this guy stood up in the middle of my show, and he was like, "You have a camel toe." That was a moment in my life that I was expected to just live through and keep living after that. And then this other woman stood up across the room, and she was like, "No, she doesn't have a camel toe." You know, I thought the same thing at first. So then it was like a town hall meeting about my crotch. And they all were disagreeing and saying that one woman goes, it's the way the lad is smacking on her trousers. I still think about how she called my pants trousers. But yeah, I usually
do you prefer someone telling you, like, it? There's no delicate way to tell someone, and like, let's say we're at the cellar and we're in one of the booths and we're all like, you're telling a story and we're all engaged and you're like feeling like on and you're like feeling in the moment. And someone, there's no comfortable way for me to tell you you have tabbouleh in your teeth without making you feel so insecure. Like I've been trying to perfect a way to tell people they have something without making them feel, without making them lose their spark, because it takes, yes. But at the same time, their spark is going to be lost as people stare at that thing in their teeth the entire story.
No, it's going to be derailed if there's a smear of broccoli on your dumb tooth. Yeah, your spark is already fucking gone. It's not lit. No, I'll take it anyway. And people, I rely on that service of people cleaning and picking things off me. So at this point, I barely hear like the voice or how it's said. I'm just like very grateful for a team of people cleaning me and rinsing me, you know.
I was in a pool with Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, which doesn't sound like the start of a good story. But we were about to do a show together. We snuck into this hotel pool and like, you know how when you go swimming, like a booger can dislodge and like come down your face? Like a giant booger was down my face. And I'll never, like, it still haunts me that Shane Gillis is like, you have a huge booger. It was just like, for some reason, it just made, which is not, boogers are not inherently, everyone has them. It's just you're collecting dust. It's not even like necessarily your own mucus. It's just like the world's crap floating around you and you're sniffing it in. But it is so embarrassing to have a booger situation. But I guess there are some people in the world that just don't have that. Like there are certain girls. You and I both have this like fantasy of these women that have perfect lives and just always smell good. Like I've been saying on stage, no one's ever told me I smell good, because that's true. No one has ever. I realize this. No one's ever been like, like when they hug you and be like, you smell good, like ever.
I always try to imitate like a couple girls that I was very jealous of in high school that just had a natural delicateness to them. And like those fathers that would go, you know, I always talk about how my husband never puts his hand on my back. Like nobody's ever just like, you know, carried me through a room. Like nobody's ever put me in a cab and referred to me as like precious cargo. Everyone's like, she'll get there. Like, you good? I'll see you over there.
Your stuff about your husband is so, I mean, it really resonates with me, because I have a boyfriend who is very similar in the way that, like, this weekend, actually, Rachel, there was a victory moment for me, because I've been obsessed. If you aren't following Rachel on Instagram, she puts up the funniest stuff. She's so, every single clip of yours is always funny. And I tell this to people all the time, you know, when I see someone who I go, oh, I watch your clips, I need to let them know, because we're just flooded with just stand-up clips and podcast clips. Yeah. And it's rare that I find someone I watch all 100% of their stuff, but I look so forward to anything you put out, because it's always just so cutting and honest and so funny. But you had this bit, and I think if you go back on our Instagram, because I've shown it to so many people, I know how to find it. It's the one where the guy charges the stage. So if you look up the one where it says like drunk guy charges the stage, it's the bit before he even, that's not even the best part of the clip, even though that was funny as fuck how you handled that. But, and how scary that was, by the way. But even before then, the bit before it is all about Rachel and her husband calling her Big Guy. And Chris and I...
That's his nickname. He calls me fucking Big Guy. And he acts like I'm weirdly insecure, because I don't like, I'm not into that nickname. He's like, I'd get out of your head about it if I was you. Out of my head. No woman wants to be called Big Guy. I say it on stage, but I'm like, dude, you call like a union trucker. What the fuck?
I showed Chris that as a kind of way to be like, hey, like, don't do things like that. Like, hey, like, isn't this funny? Like, you wouldn't want to be like her husband calling her Big Guy, right? Like, it was me. Do you ever show Pete something to like get him to maybe wake up? Like that Stutz Netflix documentary. I've tried to make Chris watch that the other night, and I kept being like, wait, pay attention, there's this part that you need to see. And he's like, do you even want to see this, or is it just for me?
No, never. I choose all of my everything we watch just to change his mind about different things. That's how I decide our entire Netflix thing, because he goes to the firehouse every day and gets dumber, because these like, I mean, just imagine having like man sleepovers for half your life. So these guys put all kinds of idiot horse shit in his head. And then I'm like, all right, I gotta have to fucking watch that documentary so I can explain that to them.
You have like a list of TED Talks just lined up. He's like, I just want to watch.
Like they're all obsessed with privacy, like extreme paranoid, like libertarians. So like during COVID, just to fuck with him, I told him that I was like, listen, just so you know, Cuomo wants us to put a siren on our door when we have COVID. Like, and they drop it off and they pick it up later. And he's like, I'm not putting a fucking siren on my fucking door. That fucking asshole can go fuck himself. I'm like, I'm sorry, but the contract tracers, they just drop and it just says this is a COVID home. It's just a small rotating green and red siren. I was like, we have to do it. I think we get arrested just to piss him off for half a day. He was fucking ranting about it all afternoon. He's like, I'm not putting a goddamn this is a COVID home sign on my freaking door. This asshole can go fuck himself.
Well, like, I love the part of the joke too, where because you like fuck with him, and you like, I love that part of your set is that you have so many like little pranks and like things you do. Like you fuck with, you share the things that he does that aren't intentional to hurt you, but that hurt you or hurt your feelings. And then you also share things that you do to like get. One of my favorite parts of you is that you are honest about being desperate for like compliments and like affection and all these things. Like, I was, even the other day I was telling Ryan Hamilton about your vows, and I think he was at your wedding, but I was recounting your vows when you were saying to Pete that like you thought he was going to be dazzled by you when you brought him to like a movie set. You were shooting some show or a commercial or something, yeah. And you brought him and he was just like, and you thought he was just going to be like, wow, my girlfriend is like a big star and I get to be on a set. And he's like,
humiliating thought. Yeah. I was like, I was just seeing him across the room. Like I was shooting this commercial and I was like, I thought like he's looking over at me thinking like, that's her. Like that's what she does. It was such a humiliating thought. Like sometimes I'll have a documentary of my life playing with thoughts nobody's having about me. It's like, she was always hanging with the guys, but still like she was a woman's woman. It's like, no one cares. You know, like I'll be at the cellar, like really razzing the guys and I'll be like imagining how he would see this. It's, and then the guy never sees me that way.
Never.
Just, it's like there's a booger on your cheek. So he was like, yes. Literally across the room, I'm shooting this commercial and in my head, I was like, what does he see when I'm like doing this? And he walks over to me. He's like, can we get back to the room? This is fucking weird. It's taking forever. He's like, there's good snacks there? Like, didn't give a fuck. You know, like,
didn't he ask where Crafty was? And you go, how do you know what Crafty is? And he goes, I've been on a set before, babe. I played a goon.
He says the weirdest shit to comedians too. He'll be like, he knows certain phrases, but he doesn't understand it.
Oh,
so
God.
He'll like be in the green room and it'll be like, you know, there was somebody opening for me and it'd be like, hey, how much time do you have? And I'm like, don't ask comedians like how much time they have. It's actually weirdly insulting. The thing with him that's fascinating is that like he really doesn't give a fuck because emotionally he's a desert. Like, and he doesn't think about what people think about him, which would be so relaxing.
Dude, do you ever think about what your life would be if you didn't have that? Like, because you're already, like, you already have a piece of that. To be able to go on stage and talk about yourself so vulnerably, like, a lot of people look at you and go, wow, she doesn't care what people think because you're just, which is a compliment. I love when people say that to me, like, you're so brave. You have so much confidence. I'm always like, oh my God, it's the opposite of that. But I'm happy they think of it that way. What next level thing could you be capable of if you didn't care what people think? Like, do you study him and like get to like kind of see what that would be like?
I do watch him because like, I mean, oftentimes he's doing something that's like humiliating to me. Like he'll meet somebody for the weekend on the road and it'll be like, he's a thing where he says people's names a lot to them. Like
Dale Carnegie method.
Because he doesn't know how to like socialize normally. So he'll be like, you know, he'll be like, Craig, great weekend. Good to meet you, Craig. You're a solid guy. And I want to say thank you for all you've done for us this weekend, Craig. And I'm like, his name is Jeff. You dick. His name is Jeff. And he's zooming away. Doesn't give a fuck. Like, I'm like, do you want to say something? He's like, yeah. Comes out in the wash. Like, I'm like, that's not the proper use of that expression. Makes no sense.
It's so, like, funny he cares enough to be to do like a Dale Carnegie method, like how to get win friends and influence people, say their name a lot, but then he fucks up the name, doesn't care.
Yeah, that's how he communicates. It's all like based on like books he saw. He wrote a paragraph on how he was supposed to interact because the rest of the time he's just thinking of like fires and like building codes. So like the titles are like exhausting. They're all like how to get to the top of every mountain. They're all about winning, like how to manipulate people at parties. Like,
oh my God. I saw Rachel's Hour last month in LA, and like, she's probably one of the only comedians that I would take time out of my life when I don't have a set to like, I ended up picking up a set that night, but I was already going to be there. And so I was like, oh, I guess I'll go next door. But I was already going to be there to see you. I was like, I'm just going to go enjoy comedy. And Chris and I laughed so fucking hard. And I was hoping that he would kind of hear the big guy thing, except that now we say big guy. Like, I know that's so lame to like take someone else's joke, but like, and make it your own as a couple. It's not even lame. It's cute, I think. I'm always so flattered when people do that with anything, when they reference a joke I made like 4 specials ago. And I'm like, oh my God, I forgot about that. But we always, now when he comes in the door, is that big guy? Is like that, just like, it's so funny, Rach. And but this weekend I kind of stole out of your playbook, because what I like about that joke is that you actually add on a part where you said you were so happy when he first saw you do that joke on stage. And yeah, why was that?
So excited, because I was like, oh, now he's gonna get it, because it really did well. And I was talking about how I walk in the door and he's like, is it big guy? And he always says it with this like wacky confusion, like it's anyone's guess who it can be. Yeah. So I talk about how insulting it is. The crowd laughs. I walk right over to him and I'm like, well, he goes, what? They fucking loved it. I'm like, whoa, they're laughing at you. It's at you.
They're laughing at how sad it is that my husband calls me big guy and how unfortunate that situation is for me. But he thinks it's like, that was because this weekend I was doing this bit that I wrote years ago about trying to get my boyfriend to compliment me. And I would like, you know, prance around naked in front of him, trying to get his attention to say anything about my body. And he one time looked up from his phone and he just goes, body. And then he looks back at his phone like he just said, but like, that's all he could give me. But to get into it, I said something that has been like a little bit annoying me, but like not big, but because I do it too. But I think it's something that like prevents us from being closer, is that we don't say I love you or like, what are you doing tonight? Or like, I can't wait to see you. We talk in third person. And he goes, I miss a gal. A guy misses a gal. A guy loves a gal. Like, it's always like telling a story of like, a Jack and Jill went up the hill. Like, it's always, but the audience laughed so hard. And I was like, thank you for understanding how this is a problem for me. Like, when the audience gets it and you share something like that and they respond to it, you're like, oh, good. Like, I'm not crazy to be a little bit like disappointed that we both can't say I and you.
It's so satisfying to have them agree with you. It's like our little final arguments to the world stand up. It's just like we rest our case, but then Pete will see me talk about him and he's just like, what? They loved it. All he knows is that they liked the bit. He doesn't
know what that exactly like.
What? He thinks solid. It was a good job right there.
You're welcome, babe.
I'm like, no, but he doesn't understand the irony. So it's, he only gets worse.
And I keep sending Rachel and I have both expressed to each other in private conversations of like how we like that tenderness, like that slight back, like lower back leading you into a room, just that protective gentleness that we've really never gotten from any guy. Not just our person we're with now, but I will just send Rachel pictures of like people in public that I see that are getting that, like women. I've probably sent you like 5 or 6 different iterations of that gentleness, just to be like, because I feel so alone in like really wanting that so badly that I feel so good when I'm like, have someone to send it to of like, I know she will feel the same yearning that I feel for this.
I want
to talk about it when we get back from break, but have you seen the Harry and Meghan doc?
I was about to say, they always say he was very protective over her. He was always concerned for her safety. I'm like, no one's ever been wondering like what I'm doing over there, how I'm
No, man,
they're always like, she's good.
Well, that's because his mom died, and so he's like scared she's gonna die in like some kind of freak. Like, I think that's probably part of it. But I want to get into that a little bit more when we get back from this break. Here with Rachel Feinstein on the Nikki Glaser Podcast. We'll be right back after this. Besties in the Midwesties, I am imploring you that if you don't have New Year's Eve plans, why don't you come to St. Louis, Missouri and come see me at the Stiefel Center. It's probably one of the biggest shows I've ever done in terms of like capacity for a room, and I really want to sell this bitch out and I want you there. So if you don't have plans or you need a last minute Christmas gift or like a fun trip for yourself, even alone, you know I do free meet and greets if you are coming alone. And if you're a bestie and you just write me and you buy a ticket, I'll give you a meet and greet anyway, even if you're going with someone. So St. Louis, New Year's Eve, days away. Go get your tickets now. It would mean so much to me, and I hope to see you there, and happy holidays and all that jazz.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they're all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good. Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So, to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire, and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser. All right, we're back. Okay, so did you watch the Noah as well? Have you seen any the Harry and Meghan Netflix docuseries?
Just saw the controversial clip that everybody's talking about.
The one where
about.
She's doing the curtsy?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. Rachel, have you seen that?
Every frame.
Oh my God, how good is his face in that? I put it on my story yesterday, you guys, if you want to check it out. Or actually, it'll be gone by now. But
I saw that when he was doing that when she did that curtsy and he was furious.
Oh, he looks to the side like, is this almost over? Which I know that men have made that face next to me a million times as I'm acting out something that I know. By the way, she knew that pisses him off. Like, that was such a perfect interaction of a couple. So if you don't know, she is doing an impression of how she
curtsied the first time she met the queen, because she thought, she was like, she's making fun of the royal family and how dumb all of this stuff is. And she is right, by the way. It is all dumb. All this pageantry bullshit, it's dumb. And she's making fun of like how they taught her to curtsy, and then she meets the queen and she's like, and I literally went like this, and she bends down to be like, oh, you know, like, and curtsies. And it's so slow and awkward. And he's sitting next to her in this interview, and he looks over to the right to kind of look at a producer like, ugh. And then he looks down, like his face goes through so many different emotions. Then he tries to smile to get out of it. But you know, she was doing that because she knows that pisses him off. Do you agree? Like, I know.
Yeah, now that you say it, that makes a lot of sense. Why do you think that? Why do you think
it was passive aggressive? Because she, because listen, she's, she knows she's right. This is how I feel whenever I just mouth off about being a vegan. I know I'm right, and no one can fucking really prove me wrong about it. Yes. But I know it upsets people still. So it's like there's a part of me when I'm in like a certain kind of mood where I'll go off about something that I know that someone
Yes, I know.
It's passive aggressive, like perfectly. And she knows that he grew up with that. And so he's deep in his core. He does feel like that's the right thing to do, to curtsy, and there's nothing wrong with it. But he knows logically, because he's a smart man, that it is stupid, that she is. She knows he knows she's right. It's almost like if you were to make fun of religion, like someone who kind of like was raised Catholic and you're making fun of like Catholicism, they know now like it's all bullshit, but there's a core of them that was like, well, this is my family you're talking about. And I think, and my mom, like, who's dead, like there's a part of him that was annoyed, but I just loved, I love that scene so much. But I really couldn't watch the documentary because I was so like jealous of her.
I know.
And then I liked her a lot.
Felt that way about me. Nobody's ever had eyes like fluttering towards me. Like, it's, I've never gone through that period of falling for somebody where I always, because the thing is, I'm not able to keep that voice up, like that delicate voice when you have to kind of hold on to when someone's falling in love with you. My voice gets real gangrenous and low real fast. So I'm not able to keep it up. Like, I can't. I could do that for like a half an hour, and then
I know what you mean.
I'm real slovenly and pirate-like. So,
well, remember the first night she met him? She goes out, and she kept, like, even though she met him and they kind of both knew instantly, like, there's a spark here. She kept her engagement for later that evening, so she had to leave. Like, whereas me, I would have been like, I'll cancel everything for you. Like, I'm gonna move here. She like still went out and was like, I can't hang out that long with the fucking prince.
She had a hard out with the fucking prince.
Yes, yes. This girl is masterful, and I am Meghan. I used to not be a fan of hers, and I know it's because of what the press put out there. Like, I am now such a huge fan of hers. She is so smart. She, if you watch the documentary, this girl was already she was Princess Diana. Like, she's already doing humanitarian work when she was just on Suits. Yeah. She kind of brags for a minute about being like, you know, when my off season for Suits, I wasn't the show she was on in Canada.
Yes,
or in America. She was like, you know, I wasn't looking for the next indie project that was going to win me awards. I was, you know, flying to Rwanda to like do, and this was before she met Harry. Like, she was already,
I know. She was always like in that scarf and like, and just playing with kids and with this impeccable.
She's a good person.
I know.
I like her a lot, and she's smart. Remember, did you hear the poem she wrote as a kid? She memorized that whole thing, and it was like really good.
She wrote this news station about like women's equality and the soap commercial and shit.
Oh, that was crazy. Noah. I mean, she got a soap commercial changed because it said like women across the country hate doing dishes. And she wrote into like Dawn Soap and was like, as a little girl, and was like, why, you say all women across the country, why can't it be all people? Men do dishes too. You're making it. And she got it changed. They changed the commercial. Like, this is, she is a little tenacious girl. And she, I love Tim Dillon. I posted this yesterday, had a bit where he's like, he was talking about how she was like, I was the smart one. I wasn't the hot one. He was like, yeah, because you weren't hot, but now you are. So drop it. Like, he's like, you had to be. But I like that she was kind of awkward looking, and like, I like her.
Yes, I definitely felt like I felt like her old outfits. I was like, okay, she was hot when she was like, she started being hot when she, as soon as she was in high school, where like, I feel
maybe,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, when she was really little, she was like, yeah, she just looked like a normal kid. Yeah. And so it's kind of satisfying to see like that she became like insanely.
When did you figure it out, Rach? Because you keep getting better looking. And I'm wondering, and you really do. And I knew that face was going to follow this, but I'm serious. Like, every time I like see you on Instagram, I'm just like, oh my God. And you know, me and my boyfriend are big fans of Rachel Feinstein's looks, and we share like clips and be like, she looks so good, you're just so pretty. But like, it takes so long to figure this stuff out, like to figure out.
I had gangrenous acne in high school. Like, mm-hmm. I needed an operation for my acne. I needed to be hospitalized. Like, I had zits that were just like, I mean, appalling. Like, I don't know how I was just, I was hurling my body around and being outside. I've always had the kind of skin where like, it can't survive many different temperature changes. That's why I'm always fascinated to see people like outside on dates. Like, we went for a hike. Like, Megan seems like she could do that. Sleep outside in a tent with a fucking guy. Like, I could never do that. Botswana. That would be it. He'd see me one day in some fucking bold light, some African sunlight, and he'd be like, this girl's got to go. She's jacked up.
Noah also has skin sensitivity to the sun. Yeah. Noah, you have skin sun issue too, right?
Melasma. Yeah. My pores are huge. I hear what you're saying, Rachel.
I gotta say though that I think that there is some runoff PTSD from when you had terrible skin in high school, Rach, because I think now you there's body dysmorphia going on, which I'm sure you have to like acknowledge a little bit, because I know that sometimes like someone will say something, like a makeup artist or something nowadays will say something that will like trigger you to be back in that moment. But it's like, it just isn't that way anymore. Do you feel like haunted by that when it was such an issue for you? And do you still feel like, because even, who was I? Someone was talking about, I'm still that person that like with someone who loses weight is still a fat, they still feel fat, you know, like, do you feel haunted by it?
I mean, right now I could like, I feel like my skin is okay right now, but just like last week I was doing Billy Burr's podcast and I was like actively peeling. Like I was just like I have to use Retin-A. So there's always a lot going on.
Yes.
It's a cocktail of things I have to do to like to sort of patch my face up. Everybody stop beating off at home and focus on just cool your erections.
It is tough.
But it's not as bad as it was in high school. And I'm sure, I mean, you know, I don't know. Sometimes I tell myself, I go, you know, you see it. Other people don't see it. And then I walk into the Comedy Cellar
and someone says it.
I went zit. And then Keith Robinson goes, why is Rachel zit winking at me? So comedians like that are always real helpful. He's like, Rachel zit keeps flirting with me. Rachel, knock it off. Why would you go outside with that? So that's the thing. Also, when you're around comedians, like, even if you're starting to get like more confident, not comedians like Nikki, because Nikki will take care of me and be lovely and say encouraging things. But like, if you're around these animals, all the male comics are, I mean, they'll just, Keith was like, I got dressed. I thought I was fucking taking a few good risks. He was like, why does Rachel dress like she shops at Suburban Outfitters? Like that'll be my fucking head for months. Suburban Outfitters. God damn it.
It's so funny. And it is, I will say though, that if you had a terrible acne situation, no one would comment on it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, unless you were doing a roast or something, unless that's when someone calls out something that is egregious, but no one's going to make a comment about your zit if you are someone that they think they struggle with zits, or no one's going to make fun of someone who is obese and call them fat unless they like, but maybe if they were a little pudgy, you know what I mean? Like if it's a huge issue, you're not going to call it out. But I do know how you feel. Like I'll be feeling so good about myself. And then, you know, for me, it'll be like, I'll be around another girl who I know is already prettier than me, but I'm like, hey, I'm kind of in the same league. Or like, I feel good about myself. It doesn't even matter if I'm in the same league. And then that girl will get up from the table or like go to another something. And then the people at the table with me will go, God, she's so pretty. Like, it's so insane. Like the heaping praise that other people get will then, you know, really hurt me, as opposed to something that maybe I think people know I'm so insecure that they don't make fun of me. And I don't hang out with male comics ever that are that comfortable to make fun of me physically.
I mean, you're so absurdly hot. I've like studied just a thigh in a picture, just trying to like understand how
I have my dad's legs. Like this, I realize the stuff that I get complimented for, where people are like, oh my God, what do you do with your legs? And I go, I just was born, like, so many things you're just born with. You're not doing anything. Like, I do want to know like what people are doing to their faces when they do really change radically, like what kind of facelifts. I'm studying all these things. But the things that people go, Nikki, you have the best legs, I won't take the compliment because I didn't do anything to get them. I have my dad's legs. Like, I was just born with them. So I can't even take the compliment, which is dumb, because if I worked for it, I'd go, well, I just worked out. That's all I had to do. It's not even really me. You know, like, I can't, some way I'd figure out not to deflect it. But yeah, it's just, I feel like every day is, it changes of my, it's more consistent now of like, since I've doing these mantras of like, I approve of myself. I approve of myself. Like I've been saying that a lot.
I always think about what you also say about like the girls that you think look really good. They can never hear it enough because they all work so hard on it. Not that it's good to keep, you know, feeding that, but I'm just saying like, you know, the girl that you think like, cause people look at you and they're like, she's like absurdly or irrationally hot. But you always point out that the girls that look like that, they're putting a lot of work in. So they do in fact need the compliment, or they'd welcome it at least. So
like, yes.
You know, cause they're always just like caring. So caring more.
It's my prettiest friends are so desperate for compliments, and I'm always just like, but it's a given. And so I sometimes just have to convince myself, oh yeah, that's why people aren't complimenting you. It's just a given, Nikki. But yeah. There are times though that I would like to like be able to not be like, we also live in a culture where if I'm like, I look gross today, people are like, no. And it's like, but sometimes I do, and that should be okay. You know what I mean? Right. Like the idea that it's like, no, you don't say that. It's like, I'm not saying I don't deserve love. I'm just saying I look haggard. And that's just a fact, and that it's okay. But people go, no, you're beautiful on the inside or whatever. You know, it's just like, no, I can just be gross one day. It's okay. But it's, you know, you still struggle with it. I was on Demois the other day or a couple weeks ago. Do you know what Demois is?
No.
Okay, so it's like this Instagram account where they just do gossip about celebrities. I'm sure you've heard of or like maybe been sent something of it. But it's all like people just write in about celebrities, either like they're friends with someone who's sleeping with an A-lister, or like it's just all gossip and it's all blind items where it's like they sometimes they'll say the person's name, but it's just all user submitted for
noodling it, you know, something.
Yes,
I always think I would never do those things, like, so I'm like, I should start going to Magnolia so people would write.
No, there's like there really are five restaurants you can go to and you will see so many celebrities every night
with someone, or like, you know, just like cackling like at, you know, some sort of day drinking at like some perfectly impeccable fucking place.
Yes. Well, Rachel, you and I could absolutely submit to Demois. Noah, you as well. Like the things we know about celebrities, like this is who's submitting, is like friends of celebrities who have inside scoop. And so they, I mean, they'll report about affairs happening. Like, or
Rachel
like
choking on her water at a soul cycle.
Yes. Yes. That is literally what happens. Choking on her water at a soul cycle.
Coughing up phlegm in a filene's basement.
Well, I've only been on it a couple times, and when you get on it, you're kind of like, oh man, I'm someone. Like the fact
but
that
what
my name
would say about you. What were your things, Nick?
Well, one of them I won't even say. It was like ages ago, and I was like, whatever. That one I'll skip and maybe talk about it another time when I have more distance. But then there was one the other day where, so it's Demois, DeuxMoi. And on their Instagram story is where everything goes down. Their page itself is nothing, but Demois, the Instagram story. And she posted like, tell me about celebrities' weird foods you've seen them eat. Like, and so people are just submitting like every single, they've saw Sean Penn eating a hot dog without the bun or what, like they'll just like say. And someone wrote, Noah, what, you have the exact phrasing?
Yep. Saw Nikki Glaser dump an entire pepper shaker on her seemingly dry salad.
Okay, so I got a lot of people writing me about this and screenshotting it and being like, oh, busted. There is so much truth to this. I love pepper, always have. As a kid, I hated the taste of scrambled eggs, so I would dump all the pepper on it. You couldn't even see egg. I love pepper. I can handle it. It's not too spicy. I used to do this on salads a lot. I think this was probably around 2018 someone saw this. And But the dry salad thing really bothers me because this sounds like an anorexic person, which I definitely do have anorexic food tendencies, no question, because I was for a very long time and some of them have carried over to just things I actually like. But a dry salad, I do not have dry salads. That is something that is a deprivation thing. I think anyone who says they like dry salad is lying. They're just trying to like avoid calories. That is not something I do anymore. If it was a dry salad, it's because they didn't have vegan dressing or any dressing that I liked. Like they only had like ranch or something. But I would so I would never do that. I just want to clear the air on that but it just upset me because I was like, it just sounded like if I read Scarlett Johansson did that, I'd be like, oh, fuck, she's like dieting.
Yeah, it makes you sound like, yeah, I get it. Because the person that does that, it makes them sound like a little bit, it's not a good
crazy
look.
Yeah, you, it's
exactly crazy. But I feel like, I've never seen you eat a dry salad. You have the most specific orders and, mm-hmm. and I feel like you, Nikki, a lot of her friends, they're all very hot blondes. That eat like a lot of tabbouleh and grains and yes. need certain sauces on the side and oils yes. on the side. And whenever yes. I'm with you guys, I like, try to imitate your orders. I'm just like,
we all have histories of eating disorders. So we all have like these very specific like things that, but I love sauces. I love dressings. And
but you do have dressings on your salad, but
I definitely do
like shit. Like, it's like, it's very cute. It's like the way Meg Ryan would order when Harry Met Sally.
Yes. It's obnoxious, and I'm sure it is like a talk of the seller, like of like, oh, Nikki's fucking order, because the whole table is filled with different sides of things. I tip very well whenever I'm this demanding. I've gotten more lax in my older life of like, okay, so they put it on the salad. Who cares? Like, it's going to be more than I want, but like, just eat it. Like, just eat what they give you. But yeah, it was just, it made me realize,
well,
though.
Very well and take care of everybody and are very lovely. I am also so annoying in stores and restaurants. People can tell immediately I'm from New York when I'm in LA. It takes them 2 fucking seconds to be like, oh, you're here from New York. I'm wearing like a black fucking cape. And I just
What are some of your demands? Where do you like shine when you're like in that way of being
I'm
too demanding?
I'm always in a rush and I try to act yes. like I'm cooler than I am. And I never really fall in sync with that LA way of speaking, that kind of like, hey, like the conversation before the conversation, you know, like,
oh God.
So I feel like there's a fucking little, I just sound impatient. I sound like a twat. And then I try to overdo it after with the compliments and the tip, but I'm apologizing for how
the whole time
I am.
Yes. I feel the same way about this conversation before the conversation. My boyfriend early on in a relationship coined Glazer exits, which is like, as soon as I want to leave, yes. I just go. I don't do a whole thing of like, I think I'm probably going to take off. I don't even know how that works when people just kind of put their bag on their shoulder and kind of like signal to people they're going to leave, or they need to like announce they're going to leave and then talk about
Nikki's
leaving.
Like,
and
a genie or like a fairy godmother. Nikki's out like a, like in a
I just
second.
Go. And it's not because I'm like, oh, I got offended and I need to leave on a dime. It's just like, right. when I want to, everyone has a moment where they go, I want to go. And I think yeah. most people go, I'm going to be like, socially more acceptable and ease into the going. I just go, and it's not an insult to anyone. I just want to go. And yeah. it is hasty, and I do know that people get like triggered by it because abandonment issues, and it's probably a little bit of my own thing of like, I don't like goodbyes, so I just kind of want to vanish, and then I don't have to.
It's a good fucking Irish exit. I respect it. I like
Thank
it.
You. Thank yeah, you no, so much.
Over. It's a fucking wrap. I always call an Uber to get out because I don't know how to say goodbye to people, and I over apologize.
I do that too.
Then I show the Uber screen.
And I go, oh, he's here. Well, speaking of, we got to take a break and we'll be right back after this. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
All right, we're back with Rachel Feinstein. You can see her on New Year's Eve at the Punchline, Philly Punchline, is that right?
Helium.
Helium in Philly.
Helium. Don't go to the Punchline. Please don't. Helium in Philly. That's a good club.
I love Helium.
I do too.
I'm trying to figure out where to shoot my special. I've got to find a theater with like lower ceilings.
Ooh, yes. That's my next special too. I want it to be more intimate and small, like low, like that is absolutely, I can't wait for your next special, Rachel. It's
when I play in like an auditorium, like type of, I always, it reminds me of school. When I even smell a school, I'm just like, oh, I never want to go back because I stunk it up. There. So bad. Yeah. I'm going to have to figure it out with my daughter. But yeah, I was in detention so much. I had like a detention dance. I just like had a thing everybody said when I walked into detention. I was like,
would you go to detention? You weren't a bad kid. You were just ADD.
Yes, but I was also bad. Like I brought Whippets tanks to school a lot. Like, and-
oh. Wait, because really you, I'm guessing you were trying to make friends and be popular.
Yeah, I loved Whippets too. I was a real
fan. Oh, you did? What do they feel like?
You just laugh a lot. It's like, I can't smoke pot because it accentuates every quality I've been trying to erase, you know? Mm-hmm. So I like Whippets. I want to laugh and have a fun, loving time. If I smoke pot, I just like think people want me to leave and don't care for me. But Whippets I was pretty into. But I would get in trouble for talking, for running my goddamn mouth. I've always been in trouble for that, for mocking shit. And I had this teacher, Miss Volo, and I would do an impression of her. She would sort of lunge and do this kind of lunging thing, a lot of her action phrases. She was always trying to make history fun and using her body with history. Yes. She knew I had an impression of her, so I'd get like a lot of timeouts and stuff like that.
Oh, so you were like the class clown, like they talk about. Like you had
I was in trouble, jokes. Yeah, a lot. I mean, my first high school, I was just getting D's and F's, and it was like an emergency. There was like nightly meetings about me. And then they took me to this other school called Thornton Friends, which I didn't realize was like a school where they sent the bad kids. Everybody called it Snorton Fiends. And so then they sent me to Snorton Fiends because I wasn't going to graduate.
And so all your friends from high school, you went to a new, what grade did you transfer?
Junior year of high school, I transferred. And then I would miss my old friends. Yeah, I would pass by my friend Lisa Kaplan, I remember. And when I would see her, we would both drive to high school. Yeah. I was driving my mom's Pontiac Le Mans. Saw Lisa, tried to make her laugh, had to get a laugh. So I tried to like do a funny, like impression of someone driving or something.
Yeah.
And hit a UPS truck and totaled my mom's Le Mans. And then it was such a tiny school that the police officer picked me up. I was weeping. He was kind of holding me and I was kind of weeping on his arm. I was hit on him. He didn't hit on me. And and he dropped me off at school, but there was only like, 15 kids in this school. Like, so in my grade, so everybody saw me come in the cop car. And I remember calling my mom, another example where somebody's not protected, being like, I was in an accident, but I'm okay. And she's like, well, how's the damn Le Mans? Shit. She was pissed about the fucking Le Mans. She was always like, shit, Rachel, I need that Le Mans. I knew this was going to fucking happen.
I think everyone got into an accident in high school. Like, I got into, I hit a garbage man with my car when I was 16. like just ran over a garbage man and almost killed him. He sued me 4 years later. It was like a whole fucking thing. But my sister got into an accident. I think it's insane that we let kids on the road with no actual formal driving instruction. I mean, you could just learn from your dad in a parking lot for an hour and then go ace the test because you have a good day. And then you're just out on the road. I mean, I would be terrified.
I was driving wildly, just like zooming into the night.
It's amazing we didn't die.
Going rogue like that, it was a terrible idea.
Oh, do you already, you, your daughter, how old is she now? About to be four?
Frankie is 2.5. Oh, and yeah, she's, it's weird.
So that's like, she's coming to life.
Yes. Like, she calls me sweetie. She goes, go ahead, sweetie. Like when I leave the room, I'm like, she dismisses me. I'm like, I'm gonna go to the cellar, I'll be back in the morning. She goes, oh, go ahead, sweetie. I'm like, don't talk to me like you're like an older waitress or diner. Like, I just wiped your ass. She's like, go ahead, sweetie. And she listens like that. She listens like
just nodding
like,
with her.
She bumped into me at the mall and she's like, how's Stan? How's retirement? You know, it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. That's how she listens to me. Like she's been there. Is she
just hilarious? Do you see her being like intentionally funny yet? Or is it all just unintentionally?
No, she's very, she does both. I mean, she has a lot of like voice, she has a lot of faces that she makes in the mirror, and she's definitely like, she's a ham. She also speaks Spanish fluently, and we don't speak Spanish. She goes to a Spanish daycare. So she yells at me in Spanish a lot. So that's kind of funny. Like, and she's always happy with me in Spanish. She's like, and she says, ay, 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 which I'm like, no Spanish speaking person says that. It's like a racist impression of a Spanish speaking person. Because like she's always like, ugh, she's had it with me. Because she just runs little errands around the room and she's like up to things, you know? I've become like an impediment. She's like, come on, like I'm trying to do this thing. I'm trying to put all your jewelry in this cart and push it down the stairs, bitch. Get off my dick, you know? Like I'm working. Yeah, she's always doing some weird.
I haven't met her yet. She sounds incredible. Are you having this like mourning period of like she's not a baby anymore? Like, are you having, do you get sad at different stages that they go into? Or are you excited for the next one?
I am definitely glad that she's not like a little, because it's just like so exhausting. And then you're always like, oh, she could die. She could die every second. You're just like, she almost died. She's about to die. She almost died. It's just, she almost died. She's about to die. So I wasn't good with that. And then Pete has no instincts with that. So like he took her to the park one day. He was trying to put her on the big swing. He was like, I'm teaching her. I'm like, she's 6 months. She would have immediately died. What the fuck? He's like, I just teach her. You know, I'm like, you can't teach her anything. There's no teaching. She's 6 months.
Oh my God.
They're like, he'll do stuff where I'm like, oh my God. One day I walked in, he was trying to give her a carrot. He's like, I'm teaching her about carrots. I'm like, what a fucking carrot, you moron. I'm gonna teach her a shit. What are you doing? And he's like, I know, he goes, relax. I know infant CPR, because he's a fireman. I'm like, you're not supposed to test it on the kid. He's like, hey, if she choked, I would know how to help her. I'm like, no, you just don't give her a carrot, you deep asshole. And then whenever I leave, he always puts her in a black turtleneck and like these same jeans. I don't even know where he gets this stuff. He dresses her like Steve Jobs, like whenever I'm not there. But it's a lot when she's a baby, because I'm like always afraid of different things. And there's been like active construction. So I'm glad that she's running around now. And you know, like I like to talk shit. Pete's like more of a doer. He gets, you know, he's like, we did that languages of love thing. And he's like, he's like, you know, acts of service, like an act of service. Who gives a shit? I want some shit. So when he was little, it was like, he was good at the changing the diaper, like all that kind of stuff. Yes. I like to talk, so she can hang now. She like says some funny stuff.
Yes.
It's more fun. It's not all this. It's less like just manual and like, I had to take her to parks. I hate parks.
Yes.
Whenever a woman like pushing a swing, I assume she needs to be like rescued. It's just such a sad, lobotomized activity, like the pushing. It feels like you should be wearing some sort of medical gown while you're doing it, you know? So he would take her to parks and things like that. And now there's more like I can talk to her and hang with her. And I'm better at that.
Yes. That's where I want to come in as a mom. It's like, I love that now that my sister's kids are like, I like talking to them. I like when they sit down to draw and I get to like hear what they're drawing and ask them about it. And like, that is like my favorite time. But like doing things, that's such an interesting thing. Like the love languages, like I don't. And I like buying gifts for them. I like buying gifts and I like talking to them, but I don't. Yeah, that's the fun part. But I was actually like you talking about like the CPR thing. Like, are you haunted by things of like this could happen? And then what would I do? Like, do you run a million? Is it constant stress like that? Because even last night I was like, I live alone. Like, what if I start choking? Like, what would I do? And I was like running through like what I would do alone. I think I would survive because I came up with several scenarios of like, you know, hurling myself over a chair or just like thudding into the ground, just chest first. But like, if I start doing that, like you can, there's a thousand scenarios where you're like, what would I do? And that's what makes me kind of worried about being a mom is like over worrying. Becoming someone who over worries.
Like, she's going to hurt herself. But for myself, I don't really worry. I don't think about death too much. I just worry if people are mad at me. Yes. You know, like I think much more about that. Like I've never think about death because, yeah, again, it's just I'm too vain in other ways.
Death might help you with people being mad at you because everyone's going to die. The other day, my friend was worried someone was going to be mad at her and go, just know that their thoughts about you will be vapor someday, just like everything else. And she was like, oh, that helps. And I was like, that does help me when someone's mad at me. I'm like, their brain is going to shut off someday and every thought they have about me will go with them too. But I know what you mean.
That's actually really helpful to merge those two because I feel like when people were really worked up about in the beginning when COVID was like much more dangerous and stuff, mm-hmm. And everybody was, I was so annoyed because I was like, I don't care about germs. I don't want the germ people to be right. Like,
oh God, you're so right.
Let it be a genre I enjoy, like true crime or something. I don't live in a pandemic movie, like pandemic films. Like I don't care.
Yes. Final thought. Yes.
Shit about germs.
I don't care either. Yeah. You and I are so on the same page about this. Like when people go, yo, you got to wash your hands after, like, I'll do a meet and greet and then I'll just go right for my food after shaking literally 250 hands and having people, like, kiss my face. And I'll forget to wash my hands. It's just, if I touch a dog, I can feel the dander on my hand. If I feel something actively on my hand, I will wash my hand. But if I don't feel it, if I can't see it, I don't care. And it's probably why I'm sick right now. But I rarely do get sick. But yeah, I totally relate to that of, like, COVID made me, you know, everyone was washing their groceries and like wiping down things. And that was a real struggle for me to like pretend like I was doing that shit.
Yeah, I can't. I don't give a fuck.
I didn't do any of it.
I'm a gross one. I apologize if anything, but I'll sip off anybody's drink.
Me too.
I remember my brother was like that too. I remember one time I was at this pizza place visiting him in Boston where he went to school for college.
Yeah.
And this drunk guy came up just like some drunk like frat fuck, looked like he just like graduated from like rape tech or some shit. And he walked in. We're eating pizza and this guy walks up to the window like he and my brother has holding a piece of pizza and he walks up like this. My brother instinctively knew that the guy wanted to pretend like he was licking my brother's pizza. They gave like a quick like thumbs up. My brother put the pizza up to the window and the guy was like and he just licked all the way up the window just to ironically eat my brother's dumb slice. And they both were like and I actually related to that moment. I was like, that is a funny thing to do, and I wouldn't even consider to me like how rancid that was to lick a window.
When something drops on the floor, like we were at a show and I think I've said this on the podcast before, but I dropped my Invisalign on the floor and I picked it up and I was about to go on stage. So I took them out. They fell on the floor and then I just put them back in my pocket. And Chris looked at me like, no, you got to wash them. And I go, I'll wash them later. And then later on, I put them back in and he goes, no, no, no. And I go, I can't see it. They didn't fall into a pile of vomit. So it's going to be okay. I just don't care. I remember one time I was on a trip with my sister, like 5-day trip or something, and I forgot my toothbrush. So I was just using hers when she wasn't like to brush my teeth like every day at night and morning because I kept forgetting to get one when we would stop at a gas station or whatever. And by the end of the week, I remember at one point we were both brushing our teeth together. And so she caught me not having a tooth. She was like, you don't have a toothbrush. And I go, oh, I forgot mine. And she goes, what have you been doing? And so I had this like weird moment where do I tell her I've been using hers or does she just think I'm gross and haven't brushed my teeth for a week? And I had to tell her. She was horrified. Yeah. I don't care though. Like it's, first of all, that's a little bit gross. I get it. Like I get why people would go.
He wants me to stop. I use his and I'm like,
you do.
Yeah.
I make out with him.
Exactly. But I've always been like that. Nobody wants me to mix my stuff with, they're always like, put your pile over there because they know it's rancid.
Yes.
Like, lay off my stuff. Like I'm always, as soon as I touch people's things, there's a certain vulgarity to them. I remember this lady once saying one of the things that hurt most when I was on stage, I'm not name dropping, but I was playing at like the Hebrew Home for the Aging in the Bronx. And, I could hear this woman talking about me and two things that always stay with me. One woman goes, something must have gone wrong in the early years. I was like, oh my God, that's so fucking accurate. She had a pin on her. I'll never forget this. She had a pin on her and she was violently shaking and so disgusted with me. And I thinking about how much energy it must have taken with fucking shaking like that to get that fucking pin on her stupid lapel and just only to come downstairs and be so enraged by me. She had fucking a perfect like Aquanet sculpture, peach sculpture on her head. And she's just sitting there like, something must have gone wrong in the early year. Like just disgusting. Yeah. And she also said, I'll never forget this lady. She's probably died during my show, but she goes, I'm in the middle of my set and she goes, there's a vulgarity, not just in the language. There's a general vulgarity.
Not just in the language, like a general just stench.
She fucking had me down. I'm like, fuck, she's right. God damn it.
The worst, whenever someone asks me, like, what's your worst heckle? The only thing that ever has stuck in my craw is one girl, a hot girl in the front row going, ew. Just any kind, like, that's the old, just an ew from a attractive person. More than anything, like more than you're not funny, you're not talented, yeah, you're whatever. It's just an ew of like, no one needs to know that. Like you're kind of oversharing. Like, you know, if I'm eating dinner and like part of my food falls onto the table, I'm a clean plate club person. Like I eat everything that I like and it will all get eaten no matter what. I've never had like to go containers in my life of like, I've never taken home anything. It all gets consumed. But depending on who I'm eating with, because I know people are so grossed out by like, it touched the table. I'll like wait till you look away and sneak the piece of food back on the plate so that I can eat it. But I will not, I respect people so much who like, if something falls off onto the table, they're like, not going to eat that. And they like put it on the side. I could never do that. It's like a bite of food that I would want. I could never do that.
I want to eat the way priests serve that little Jesus cracker that they give Catholics, the little like Jesus cheese thing. I love the way they lower it. Jesus. I love the way they like lower it into your face. That's how I want all my snacks served to me. Just like kind of like laid back gently like that and just had things plopped on my tongue. I don't know.
Oh, God. Someday we'll accept ourselves, Rachel. I swear to God. I love you so much. Thank you for being here on this podcast.
It's delightful.
You're the best. You make me so happy. I'll continue sending pictures of men comforting their girlfriends and wives and just different animals caressing each other. What was that, Rach?
I just wanted to say that girl that said like, ew, it reminded me of those couples that are on date nights. And there's always like, I always feel so judged by that couple. Like, again, the guy's got his hand on her lower back and she's like, like, I feel like I bring those couples closer together. Like,
yes, they're going to bond in the car on the way home.
That was fun, you know, to laugh at that fucking, you know, at that raunchy fucking broad for an evening.
But what a hard life she must have. And they just kind of talk about how, oh God,
I feel like they see me and then they just hold on to their wives a little more. Like, I'm a lady. I should appreciate her. Like I bring her together.
You guys go see Rachel on tour anywhere you can see her. Follow her on Instagram. She is one of the best accounts out there. Support her in every way. She's my favorite comic. One of my favorite people too. I love you so much, Rach. Thank you for being here.
I love you so much. Thank you. Thank you both. Thank you, Noah.
My girl, Dompika and Jackpot.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb.
Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.